We do have a pair of Caps tickets that we're going to give away today. We'll do that in 1 hour at 5 o'clock when we're joined by Jay Gruden. Welcome back to Caddies in Bethesda. We are at Caddies on Cordell ahead of the NFC Championship game. Fans are ready to go. They've been raucous. They're having fun getting ready for the most important game this team's played in just 33 years. I mean, nothing really overly exciting about three decades of waiting. Injury report just came out. Daron Payne with that knee and finger is listed as questionable after not practicing again today. My guess is not only that he'll play, but he'll look like he has much of the season.
He'll be fine.
I don't think that that finger is going to keep him out. But otherwise, you knew Sam Cosmi would be out. He'll be placed on IR before kickoff. Jeff Driscoll, who's the third-string quarterback, listed as questionable. And Javonte Jean-Baptiste, who's down the depth chart on the defensive line, also listed as questionable. But otherwise, for Washington, just Daron Payne, notable on the injury report. We'll get you more details on that in just a few, but it is time for our blitz. It is a Commanders blitz today, covering the game from all angles, so let's get to it.
The Washington Commanders.
And we start with our buddy Denton Day, who will be hosting Burgundy and Gold pregame this weekend ahead of the contest. In fact, our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on Sunday. We'll have pregame, we'll have the play-by-play of the game via Westwood One, and then we'll have postgame deep into the evening until about 2 a.m. or so right here on The Fan. So, Denton, why don't we begin with that update on Daron Payne? He's playing through pain. He's questionable. I think he'll go. What about you?
I can't imagine he doesn't go, fellas. I mean, you're so deep into the season. You mentioned it, Grant. This is the most important game this team has played in 33 years. That's the most important game in Daron Payne's lifetime. So I can't imagine that he's not going to play.
Denton, defensively, how do they slow down Saquon Barkley?
Prayer. That's like the only way, right? Saquon Barkley's been unstoppable against everybody. I think what you got to do is limit the home run ball. Then that comes to tackling. You know, you got to make sure that you're not just hitting him up top with your arms. You got to go for his legs. You got to wrap up. You got to make sure that when you hit him, you're bringing him to the ground and not just trying to hit stick him. If you can keep those runs maybe to, you know, 4 or 5 yards, obviously you don't want that all game, but I'll take 4 or 5 rather than 75.
How about the Marshawn Lattimore, A.J. Brown matchup? Remember, those two went head-to-head in Landover. A.J. Brown worked him pretty good, close to 80 yards, 3 penalties for another 70 or so yards. Lattimore's coming off of a terrific game, but he wasn't really tested at all by a receiver that's nothing like A.J. Brown. What do we anticipate after we saw him really struggle a couple weeks ago with Mike Evans?
Well, my hope, Grant, is that it's Marshawn Lattimore and Mikey Sanders still against A.J. Brown and that no one is traveling. They're playing their sides. You know, in that Thursday night game all those weeks ago, Mikey actually played really well against the much taller A.J. Brown. But I'm hoping that what they did against Detroit is what we see this weekend, where you're not just tasking Marshawn Lattimore with following one of the best receivers in the NFL. We saw that the first time these two teams played, and we saw it a couple weeks ago with Mike Evans, and I didn't like the results of it either time. So I hope that they allow him just to stay on his side and then handle what goes in that direction, allow Mikey to handle what comes in the other direction. But I am expecting another good game from Marshawn Lattimore. I'm not going to break my arm, pat myself on the back here, fellas. But I told you last week, I like Jeremy Chinn to have a turnover, and he did. I think Marshawn Lattimore has his first turnover as a member of the Commanders this weekend.
You mentioned Sanders still. He had not one, but 2 interceptions against Detroit, doubling his season total. A rookie year for him that's gone a little bit under-talked about probably this week just because we're all so busy heaping deserved praise on Jaden Daniels. But how about the breakthrough here late this year by Sanders still, who, lest we forget, Denton, drafted out of Michigan, where he was a national champion, who had a pick six in the title game, to play the nickel. And now he's playing on the boundary, and he's getting better and better at it.
Yeah, he's really gotten better as the season has progressed, and that's really what you want. You know, he has a championship pedigree with the games at Michigan. He's used to playing football late in the season, but even this, I mean, this is more games than he's played in a career. Him and Jaden are in the same boat. I mean, you're going on game number 19 for these guys now, but he's gotten better every single week. It's been really, really impressive. I think the confidence that he has right now, he was confident when he was drafted out of Michigan. It's hard not to be. You won a national championship, but I think you're really seeing him come into his own as a player, and I think what we saw this weekend, maybe not what we're going to see on Sunday, but I love the confidence that he plays with, his ability to kind of run routes for the wide receiver, or in instance, the running back when the wide receiver is throwing the football. But I thought he played really, really well, and Adam Peters drilled it with him, man. He really did.
Offensively, this team has really not been able to run the ball in the second half of the year, but last week against Detroit, they actually got some run game going with the running backs. Is that just a case of facing a banged-up defense in Detroit, or do you think they actually found something that they might be able to do a little bit of that against Philadelphia?
I hope it's more the latter than the former, because they're going to need to be able to run this weekend against Philadelphia if they want to have success. As great as Jaden Daniels is, and good Lord, is he great, I don't want to make him play Superman every single possession on offense. So having some bit of the run game, even if it is just more, you know, kind of the extended run game with some of the screen passes, but the traditional run game, Toby, as you mentioned, having Brian Robinson look like old Brian Robinson, I thought was huge. It was a confidence boost, allowed the offensive line to play downhill a little bit. You're going to need that against this Philadelphia defensive line. Jalen Carter is the next Aaron Donald. I mean, that guy is an absolute mammoth of a human being. He's a beast. You're going to need to make sure your offensive line is in as much of a rhythm as possible if you want to keep him away from Jay Daniels.
Denton, thank you, buddy. We will be listening to Burgundy and Gold pregame 11 a.m. this Sunday. Thanks.
I appreciate it, fellas.
You got it. Let's keep the blitz moving.
The Washington Commanders.
A reoccurring theme. We'll be talking a lot about the Commanders on this blitz. Mitch Tischler, Monumental Sports. I want to dig in on the trenches with you, Mitch, here and talk about this offensive line. So why don't we start with Sam Cosmi's injury. How are they going to align the right side? Who do you expect to fill in for him? And then the obvious question is, what do they do with Jalen Carter?
I think it's going to be Trent Scott over there at right guard. I don't love the idea of kind of moving Wiley to the inside because you're changing two positions at that point if you go with Cornelius Lucas on the outside. And quite frankly, Trent Scott played quite well against the Lions. The biggest thing that I give Trent Scott a lot of credit for is Sam Cosmi is a big part of that silent snap routine. The right guard is the one that's looking back at Jaden for the call. He then turns to the line, taps the center, Biotis then snaps it. You know, when you lose somebody in that silent count process, it can go south real quickly. And we've seen it in years past and this season at times when Michael Dieter stepped in at center. So the fact that Trent Scott was able to step in that situation and be able to keep that momentum going, I think is very important. And then, as you're trying to deal with Jalen Carter, I just heard, you know, he's the next coming of Aaron Donald. That guy has been a game wrecker, and I like the idea of having a bigger body on the inside there. So I like having Trent Scott there. He's a big body, a little bit of a bigger mass for Jalen Carter to have to get around before he gets to the quarterback. So to me, I think that's the best situation. And if things go south, you know, you've obviously practiced it. Maybe then you go with the Wiley to the inside and Cornelius Lucas on the outside type thing, but I think Trent Scott deserves an opportunity.
Yeah, I thought Trent Scott played well in relief last week because, you know, I frankly was not a fan of what he was doing earlier this season at tackle. How much do you think that changes because it's the guard position? You talked about some of that communication, and how much worry do you have about him at guard stepping in there versus maybe letting Wiley go in there?
I mean, I'm not saying that this is the case, but you've seen it across the league where tackles move to the inside and play a little bit better. It happened here in Washington with Eric Flowers a couple of seasons ago. You can just look up the road in Philly. They have Mekhi Becton playing right guard up there some. You know, I think that there are situations where you can get a bigger body on the inside and find yourself some success there. And, you know, Trent Scott wasn't the most effective right tackle when he was out there, but there's a lot more space, a lot more room for guys to take advantage of any, you know, of any deficiencies he may have in quickness. And potentially on the inside, you know, he's a big body in a confined space, and that can be tough for a defensive line to work their way around.
Mitch, we talk so much about Jalen Carter, and understandably so. He's a candidate for the best defensive player in the league at this point, but he's not alone. I mean, they have really good talent up front, right? Whether it's Jordan Davis, who's a space eater, or on the edge, Nolan Smith, Josh Sweat, you think about like Bryce Huff. They've got guys who can make plays. How does Washington match up in terms of, you know, the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, I mean, not particularly well. We've seen it twice, you know, once up in Philly, once in Washington. I don't expect Washington to dominate on the offensive line by any means, but I think with Jaden Daniels running around back there, you don't have to necessarily dominate. You just have to, you know, to be a big speed bump, if you will. And I think that, you know, this O-line has done a good job throughout the season, and particularly, you know, the second half of the season of you know, keeping Jaden upright, especially if you look at the, you know, what they've done in the playoffs. And you know, I think that this team is going to try to run the ball because you're going to need to at least show that you're trying to move the ball on the ground. But for the most part, it's going to be about what Jaden Daniels is doing in the backfield. And I think, you know, his elusiveness and his ability to get to the outside has caused some of these D lines to temper their rushes because they don't want to see him escape the pocket and get to the outside. So, you know, you're hoping that kind of the threat between the threat of his legs and, you know, keeping a little bit of a reasonable, you know, commitment to the run game, that can help out the O-line a whole lot. And ultimately, I think, you know, kind of the addition of the tight end, you know, chips and what we've seen from Austin Eckler and Brian Robinson from the backfield helping out in pass pro will be a big part of keeping him upright.
Mitch, appreciate the time. Enjoy covering an NFC Championship game in Philly on Sunday, man.
It's a wild world, man. I'm excited, and let's hope we're doing this again in 2 weeks.
Yes, sir. Let's hit that commander sounder one more time, Darius.
The Washington Commanders.
To join us, John Cakes, Allville of the Sports Junkies. Cakes, I mean, how crazy is it that we're talking about an NFC Championship game that Washington's a part of on Sunday?
I mean, it's bordering on the absurd. Like, if I came up to you in, you know, like during training camp or mini camps and said, you know, this team's going to win 12 or 13 games in the regular season, go on a postseason run, win all their games on the road, and have to stare down a division rival for a chance to win a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback, I mean, I would have thought you would need to be committed. But, hey, give credit to the front office for nailing the number two pick, obviously, with Jaden Daniels. He's been spectacular. Dan Quinn has completely revamped the broken culture that was here under Ron Rivera and the litany of other bad coaches that preceded him. And, hey, it feels great. I mean, 33 years wandering in the desert. Commanders fans deserve a big platform like this and a huge stage, and hopefully they're able to take the next step. And like Mitch said, we're talking about the Super Bowl in a few weeks, which seems absurd, but here we are.
Yeah, it's hilarious. By the way, Cakesy, we are out in Bethesda today at Caddy's. So, by the way, our Caddy's audience wants to say hello.
Very good.
To tell Johnny Cakes Allville. How
I
about this?
One Eric Bickle was making an appearance at Caddy's. I don't know if he's there yet or he made his appearance already, but we heard about that earlier on the show today. So some cross-show synergy going on there at Caddy's in Bethesda.
Right. EB swung through. How about this fan base coming back to life, though, and just what we're seeing after so many years of dormancy?
No, it's awesome. I mean, I heard you, I think it was yesterday or the day before, talking about how, you know, you're dressing up like your four-year-old kid is wearing a Jaden Daniels jersey. And I'm a little further along in the child-rearing process than the Paulsons. But look, my oldest kid is 27, and he had never seen a consistent winner here with Washington. So he's enjoying it. You know, all three of my kids are caught up in this because they've never been here before. They've never experienced what people who are older, like their dad, experienced when the Redskins were so dominant back in the 80s and the early 90s. So it's great for them to get a taste of it, too.
If Washington's going to win this game, what kind of game is it going to be? Is it going to be one where Washington has to put up 30 points? You think it's going to be a little bit of a rock fight? What are you expecting if Washington's going to come out on top and head to the Super Bowl?
I think Washington has to keep doing what they're doing. Like, they have to keep playing aggressive offense. They have to keep scoring in that 28 to 35, if not higher range. I don't like this team in a knockdown, drag out like 17-14 type of game. And let's be honest, I don't think this defense can hold Philly to that sort of point range. So I think it's going to be another explosive offensive game. I don't know if it's going to be quite like was that week 16 game at Northwest Stadium where they had the five turnovers and still got the win. But I think it's going to be relatively high scoring. Hopefully we're scoring a lot more than the Eagles, but I would guess it's going to be close. My prediction was 31-28 on the air this morning, and I picked the Commanders. At this point, I'm not picking against Jaden Daniels. He's been too good during his playoff run and during the regular season to pick against him.
Kate says, Adam Peters more handsome or good at being a GM? Which one is it?
Oh, man, that is a great question because he is a handsome fella. And Jeeps, did you guys laugh, too, when he just casually and easily picked up Josh Harris so easily on the sideline? I think
that
it was during the Detroit win.
Yeah.
I mean, he just picked him up like I'm picking up like a 5-pound sack of sugar at the grocery store, like with just the most ease ever. Is he more handsome or better at his job? As dashing as he is, he's better at his job as the GM. And I think he even looks better by comparison because of all the just boobery and tomfoolery that's been going on in the lack of a front office here with Washington under Dan Snyder's reign of terror. So, yeah, he is better at his job than he is handsome.
By the way, it looks like they might keep both Lance Newmark and Cliff Kingsbury. I know there's still two head coach openings, but with the Raiders kicking it all 2004 and hiring Pete Carroll today, it looks like Kingsbury is actually, by not interviewing, hurt himself a little bit here, which I'm fine with, and might hang around for another season.
And I think that's ideal. Look, you as good as Jaden Daniels is, look, if Cliff left, I still think Jaden Daniels is going to be really good. But how much better is he going to be with another year in the system, adding more talent around him? And, you know, Jeeps, you and Danny have talked about it. We've talked about it. He can afford to be selective in the hiring process because he's getting those fat checks still from Arizona. He's getting paid like a middle to lower tier head coach already. And he gets to work with a superstar quarterback. So I don't blame choosing and being selective. I think he's playing it pretty massively at this point.
Cakes, appreciate the time. Hopefully we hear you at 6 a.m. on Monday for a victory Monday headed to the Super Bowl.
Hopefully that is the case. Have a good time at Caddy. Say hello to the crowd again for me, and thanks for having me, boys.
You got it. There's Johnny Cakes Auville of the Sports Chunkies. By the way, think about what Toby just said. Toby just said that potentially the Junkies will be doing a show on Monday getting ready for the Super Bowl.
It's insane.
World are we living in?
By the way, LSU kid playing in New Orleans, not betting against him.
Yeah, I like
that. Let's get there.
Going back to a stadium where he's very, very comfortable, where he just got himself a win.
Mm-hmm.
Made some big plays a handful of weeks ago. But we will worry about that after this Sunday. Let's get deeper into the matchup. Commanders-Eagles next. Plus, we will touch the people, get some thoughts, some questions from our audience out here in Bethesda. The party is on at Caddy's, hanging out with us ahead of the NFC Championship game. You're listening to Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Third and 10. Four-man rush. It's Goff throwing over the middle. And it's picked off Jeremy Chinn. And Washington will be going to the NFC Championship for the first time in 33 years.
Welcome back to Bethesda, where we're out and about for a Friday field trip. We are at Caddy's on Cordell. We will be here until 6:30. Great crowd, fired up for championship football. Put your hands together for yourselves for coming out. This has been very, very cool. We're going to be here until 6:30, as I mentioned. So if you're getting out of the office, if you're in the area, you can come on out. We're giving away prizes, doing some trivia during breaks. We are happy to be talking about the Commanders still playing football at the end of January with the NFC title game taking place this weekend in Philadelphia. I'm hopping on the train tomorrow morning, heading up to Philly. We've got a bit of a rally developing, it sounds like, at Hard Rock Cafe, I believe, in Philly, downtown tomorrow. And then we'll be at the stadium all day long, Lincoln Financial Field. Of course, you can listen to the game right here on The Fan. Pre-game starts at 9 a.m. We've got the Westwood One play-by-play call of the game, and then we've got you live and local post-game deep into the evening on The Fan. So no reason not to be listening all day long on Sunday. We'll take some comments and questions from our listeners out here in Bethesda. So if you guys want to be a part of the show, come on up to the front, and we will get you on the air here. But in the meantime, I wanted to take our first dive into this Commanders offense against Philadelphia's defense. Toby, I've made the case that I believe that Washington's offense is going to move the ball throughout this game.
Sure. Yeah.
I think the Commanders' offense is better than the Eagles' defense is. And while Philly's defense ranks number one in the NFL, I like the matchup for the Commanders. I think you saw this in Landover about a month ago. When Washington spreads Philly out, Daniels can kind of dictate where the pressure's coming from. If you go empty, especially when they're throwing the football and they operate in spread, the Eagles then have to put extra DBs on the field, and he's easier to able to decipher where the blitz is coming from. He's been excellent at throwing right behind it, getting himself kind of some snap, some information before the snap, some pre-snap data. I like that look. I think they'll do that. The other thing they've done really, really well, Austin Eckler talked about this on our show this past Tuesday. Eckler said, we have answers against crowd noise because we don't need to huddle. This is an exceptional no-huddle offense. They have done an awesome job all year with tempo, getting when they have huddled in and out into the line of scrimmage, but going just no huddle. They did that right out of the chute in Detroit. They didn't need to line up after getting any kind of verbiage yelled at them by a quarterback. They just got in formation. Jaden, with some hand signals, told everyone where they needed to go, directed traffic, and they're on to the next. The number one paced team in the league, one of the best teams in the league all year without huddling. That's a great trick for playing on the road in the playoffs.
It's also great because I don't know that anyone stops Jalen Carter except for him being tired. And so maybe they don't always have to go with the tempo, like you said, but not huddling, they don't get a chance to sub these guys off the field. So if you go tempo, then slow it down, changing it up, keep those same guys on the field, maybe you can't stop Jalen Carter. Maybe you can stop a tired Jalen Carter. I think this is the most intriguing matchup, though, obviously, because it's a kind of a strength on a strength. Philly's defense has been good all year. Washington's been an offensive game. When you look at the other side, you know, defensively for Washington, you know what's coming. It's Saquon, it's Saquon, it's Saquon. For Philadelphia, you know what's coming. It's Saquon, it's Saquon, it's Saquon. On this side of the ball, I think it's intriguing because I was talking about this last night a little bit. Familiarity. Third time facing. What are you going to get? I think on the other side, you know. On this one, it's intriguing. So Dan Orlovsky pointed this out. I think this is really important. Week 11, Philadelphia blitzed 11% of the time. It was Jaden's worst game at 21% QBR. You compare that to week 16, they blitzed 33% of the time. He had a 96 QBR. Think about the two teams that they played so far in the playoffs. Buccaneers, aggressive, bringing pressure on the quarterback. He did really well. Think about Detroit, going to play man, be really aggressive, bring pressure. He did really well. Dan Orlovsky tweeted this out too. An average QBR is 50, a perfect QBR is 100. During Washington's seven-game win streak, Jaden Daniels has a 98.5 QBR when blitzed. So when you look at the fact that Jaden has been good against the blitz, when he played Philadelphia and did well, they blitzed a lot. When he struggled, they didn't blitz. I think seeing that and that familiarity, I'm intrigued to see what Philly does. I don't think they're just not not going to blitz, but I think they're going to understand now that Jaden is really good against that. So I'm intrigued to see how aggressive they're going to be defensively, or if they kind of sit back in coverage and just live with what happens.
I hope he gets blitzed. He has handled it. I mean, the numbers you just gave are wonderful, but you can see it. He's handled it beautifully. If you blitz, he has killed you, because he's been very poised in knowing where it came from and how do I beat it. I get the ball out quickly, and I throw it where the pressure came from. Because normally there's one less defender in that vicinity, and if it's about communication too. And I give credit to Kingsbury. This is where your coordinator matters. This is where your position coaches have to be on their P's and Q's. But everyone's got to recognize blitz, not just the quarterback, because I need a hot throw. Yep. And they have had that where you just turn around, you run that hook, you get something quick, get the ball out of your quarterback's hands. They've been doing it all year long pretty effectively. One of the questions we asked last week was, who's going to have to be great? You know, the Bucs game, we saw Diami Brown break out and come out of nowhere to shine and really help get them a win. Now, I happened to think last week maybe Diami could do it again, and he did. I want to get into that in just a moment. Which player do we think could really step up for the Commanders this week? But let's touch the people. We're at Caddy's in Bethesda, out and about. Tell us where you are, where you came in from.
Hey, I'm Aiden. I'm just from right outside of Bethesda.
Well, thanks for coming out, man. We appreciate you.
All right. My question is, I've been a fan for only like 4 years, to be honest. So I've been through thick and thin. Not really. But
for 4 years.
Yeah.
For 4 years.
You've been through thin, 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 and thick.
Last year was bad, so.
But one thing I've been through is three name changes.
Yeah.
If we win on Sunday, do you think we even change Commanders? Do you think this is not necessarily permanent, but.
So we were talking about this earlier, and I appreciate the question.
Yeah.
I think that with every single win, it gets harder to change the name.
100%.
Now, I happen to be someone who does not really like the name Commanders that much. I'm not an advocate for you have to change it. I'm not screaming about like Danny does every day. I'm not going to use it or anything like that. I call them whatever they are. When they were the Redskins, that's what I called them. Now I call them the Commanders. I'm not advocating for anything. Do I like the name? No. If I was the commissioner of Washington football, if it was Grant Harris and I was in charge, they would be the Hogs or the Red Hogs or something. We would go back to that next year. That would be what they did forever. To answer your question, though, I think with this run, I think it cements the name Commanders probably as their future name. And a lot of people don't want to hear that, but I think that's what's happening. I just think you are seeing now more Block W stuff,
yes,
more Commanders gear. Everyone's got a Jaden Daniels jersey. That is, whether people will acknowledge it or not, as good as opt-in. Whether you're opting,
yes,
into the name or not, just by purchasing the merchandise, by being willing to support, endorse, that's what it is. It's a financial endorsement. Ownership will see that. I think it'll be Commanders.
Two things. So I didn't like the black uniforms when they first introduced them because they didn't look like the team I grew up watching. That Hail Mary was in the black uniforms. It's forever iconic now. Think about when you look at this season from Jaden Daniels. It's going to be as a Commander, regardless of whether they change the name or not. The most iconic rookie season by a quarterback in NFL history is going to be for the Washington Commanders. So they could change it, but a part of the history is always going to be Washington Commanders because of this season.
It's very true. I mentioned this, but Washingtonian Magazine did a story on this today, and they were asking me questions about this. But one of the other quotes in the story was from John Keim of ESPN. He said, Jaden Daniels came here as a Washington Commander. If you go on a Super Bowl run with this name, do you really want to start changing it? I think the majority of fans will still say yes. I think the team will tell you when you've got to jump through hurdles and it takes years and money and a lot of work and turmoil that they might just say now, we don't have to anymore. You had to change the name probably before this year.
Yeah.
Now it would be a, we want to change the name. So if I had to guess, I would tell you it's already too late. I think they've already done enough in this name now that it's here to stay. I think if they win this weekend and they actually play in a Super Bowl as the Commanders, I think it is over.
Yeah.
I think this name is not going anywhere. All right, let's keep talking to our listeners at Caddy's in Bethesda.
Hi, this is Caitlin from Poolsville. Just wanted to comment on how the Eagles fans are very defensive, always, but kind of especially right now. You know, I mean, I guess I would be defensive too if you know, the Super Bowl existed for 50 years before we ever actually won one.
Yes, that's, you would probably.
That's the Eagles right there.
If the mayor thought your team was the Elk Sisses,
yeah.
That makes it tough, too.
And just the fact that, yeah, it took them 50 years to win one, and they're the only team in the NFC East that has only won one singular Super Bowl, I would be a little defensive as well and insecure, and that's just, you know, how the Eagles fans are. I'm cool, calm, and collected going into this game, just like JD5. I'm not scared. I think we're seeing the Eagles and their fans being scared. I think our team is going in not scared, and I feel like that could be a difference maker.
Appreciate you. So I'll say this. That's the second person that said something along those same lines that has me thinking about this. I was just talking to a listener during the break who said, when the Caps went on their run in 18, I'm paraphrasing, but it was excruciating and nerve-wracking, and you're kind of living and dying. When the Nats went on their run similarly, it was a feeling of they had to win, yeah. Right? Like, if they didn't win, it would be gut-wrenching and heartbreaking. This is not either of those two things. This is such a house money, unexpected, what in the hell are we doing here kind of run, where it's just super enjoyable. Like, I don't know about you guys, but they're playing the Lions. I'm putting my feet up going, if they win, awesome, and if they don't, that was a great year. And then, lo and behold, they go out and they have the game of the year. And there wasn't a single moment during that game when they were down early, when the Lions have the ball marching to go up two scores. There's not a single moment where I'm going, oh, you're devastated, like I would have been if the Caps are down a couple goals in a game seven. This is such a gift of a season. It feels like a win-win, and I think that's why they're so dangerous.
Yeah, I think when you think back to the cup run, the World Series run, there was a moment when it started to feel real, like it could happen. You think about the Kuzi goal, right? You think about the Game 5 against the Dodgers when they finally were able to overcome it, Howie Kendrick with the Grand Slam. Does that not feel a little bit like the doink off the upright in Tampa, or going into Detroit and Jameson Williams is throwing picks? And, like, I don't know. It just, it feels special. And I think for this team, that sort of mindset of cool, calm, and collected is what they've been all year. And so they're going to go in there. And for Philly fans and for that team, you know, they're kind of, I think, a little bit on edge, because I wouldn't say they're scared by any means, but this has been little brother to them for so long. And occasionally little brother would win a fight, but it was like, little brother's irrelevant still.
Yeah, they have never worried about Washington for years and years.
Now it's like, holy cow, we got to play this team in the NFC Championship and twice a year with Jaden Daniels at the quarterback from now on.
But think about this, too. All of the pressure is on them.
Big time.
Every ounce of pressure in this game, and Tom Brady's on the call, so it's fewer ounces than it's supposed to be. that's an air in the football joke for those of you that didn't get it. Every ounce of pressure in this game is on the Eagles in Philly. You're at home. Imagine the phone calls into WIP. If they lose this game, Sirianni, people want his job. Jalen Hurts, is he really the guy? Should we have paid him? Look what he did in the playoffs. The worst thing you're going to hear, even if Washington lays a complete egg, is that was the first or second time all year they got out-coached and the clock struck midnight and they really weren't ready for the bright lights. But guess what? Now I got $100 million to spend in free agency. Now I got a draft class I'm going to put together, and I'm coming back to the well with Daniels with experience next year. There's really nothing to be lost, and they have zero pressure. It's just loose, and fancy-free for them.
What I love is this feels like a rivalry again. For the first time in my life, it feels like a rivalry. Usually, when Washington's playing Philadelphia, it's Washington fans saying, well, Jalen Hurts really isn't that good, or they're taking shots here or there. But instead, this time, it's Philadelphia saying, Frankie Louvu's dirty. It's them saying, oh, Joe Witt Jr. wants to hurt Jalen Hurts. And they're the ones that are a little bit scared about this. There's a little bit of nervous energy. There's a little bit of, hey, we're still the top dogs until you beat us. Washington's got a chance. There's a little bit of arrogance. We've had people on our station this week. I was listening to B. Mitch and Finley with a crosstalk with WIP. And Joe Giglio was saying it's a cute little season you guys are having, but it's going to end on Sunday. They're a little bit scared. I think they're putting on this little front because they know that while they do have a really good football team, Washington's got the quarterback that everybody wants.
Yeah, you can try to sun DC all you want to. At some point, that ball's getting kicked in the air, and Jaden Daniels and that offense are coming out on the field. All right, we will continue live from Caddies in Bethesda up until 6:30 today. We've got Jay Gruden joining us in about 20 minutes. I want to X and O with him on how you move the ball against the number one defense in the league. Also, how he's going to try to stop Saquon Barkley defensively. Let's answer the question next. Which player has to have their best game of this season if Washington's going to win in Philly? And I'm taking Jaden Daniels out of the equation, who's been exceptional. Other than Daniels, who's got to be awesome for the Commanders? That is the question on Grant and Danny from Caddies in Bethesda, but we're hanging out until 6:30.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the game flow and things like that will have impact on it. So where the game is once you get into the later moments of the game. But you go in and you do the things that you do, you know, and we'll see how the game plays out. But he's done a good job of kind of, you know, going for it on fourth down, and they've been really successful. So that will be a key to the game on both ends.
That's Nick Sirianni, the head coach of the Eagles, who are preparing to host the Washington Commanders in the NFC Championship game. Grant and Danny on the fan. Danny is out today. You knew with a huge game that was possible, unfortunately. But yeah. Danny will be back in short order. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open at 800-636-1067. We'll hit the phones in just a moment. Jay Gruden's also joining us in the 5 o'clock hour to help us scout the Eagles a little bit. The show's brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad. They're going to update your last will and testament for you if need be. They'll set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them we sent you. That way you can get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Alongside Toby Altizer, I'm Grant Paulson. We are live at Caddy's in Bethesda. We're going to be here until 6:30, so feel free to come on by, join the party. You better rock some burgundy and gold, or you might stick out like a sore thumb, I will say.
This is an awesome crowd.
Yeah.
Awesome crowd.
People have been fired up all day long. It goes all the way to the front door, by the way. Long a bar, and everybody is ready for the NFC Championship game. So I'll ask you the question first. I'll give you my answers next. But the question that we're posing to you guys is, who's got to step up and have the game of their season if Washington's going to knock off yet another favorite on the road? In game one against Tampa, it was Deami Brown, who's kind of done it twice. I would say game two, that distinction goes to Mikey Sanders still, mm-hmm. who had the two interceptions that completely changed the game. Or you could even say Quan Martin. Quan Martin had a pick six. Otherwise, maybe we're not having this party today because that changed the entire outcome of the first half for Detroit. Who's that guy in this game?
So I'm going to give you two. One's not a real answer, but I do think he needs to be big. Zane Gonzalez needs to make every kick that he has, whether it's an extra point, whether it's a field goal, make every one. That's not a real answer, but please make every kick.
It's a pretty damn real answer to me.
Please make every kick.
Every time he lines up, my heart is below my belt, I'll tell you that.
But the real answer for me is Austin Ekeler. I think this is going to be an opportunity for him where if they're not going to blitz a lot, which I don't anticipate them doing because of the numbers that Jaden has put up against the blitz. So I think that they are going to largely play back and play coverage. And I think they're still going to get pressure with four because of this offensive line struggles. You got Jalen Carter taking over. So I think what's going to end up happening is you're going to need that security outlet. You're going to need that guy that if they are not going to be able to sit back there and find Terry McLaurin down the field, find Deami Brown down the field, get the ball to Austin Ekeler out of the backfield as a check down on some screens, on some stuff like he did this past week where he chipped and then got out and you give him the ball and let him co-create. I think this is a huge opportunity for him because if he can get going in that sense, he can maybe run the ball a little bit. I think it's a huge opportunity for him to really make his impact known in this game.
My answer's a little bit of I'd say straight out of a movie answer. How about Zach Ertz going back to Philly and delivering a back-breaking performance to the Eagles? Ertz has been good in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He's been good. He had two catches for 23 yards that were massive against the Bucs. That's not a particularly impressive stat line, but remember, he caught the 12-yard pass on a 3rd-and-10 with Jaden about to be hit in the end zone looking for an outlet, and then he caught a 4th-down ball to move the chains against Tampa Bay. As big a two catches as you're going to have. Then this past week against Detroit, 5 for 28. Again, stat line is meh. He converted a 4th down. He caught a touchdown. Huge chain mover on a 3rd down. Could not have been more significant on big plays. That's what he does. There was also audio, by the way. I don't know if you guys saw this that made the rounds. It's why I love Zach Ertz. 93 of Detroit took a shot at Daniels, pretty dirty, I thought, and late, right? One player came up to him with the mic'd up like audio that we got later in video on NFL Films and completely let him have it, and it was Zach Ertz. Ertz was not having that when he saw his quarterback take that hit. Came up, told him it was a dirty hit, told him he better not do it again. That guy's a leader. They brought him here to help change the culture, and he has. He's one of the few guys on this team with hardware. He's going back to Philly, where he's going to be in the Eagles Hall of Fame at some point. He gets booed so loud there, by the way. I was at the link going back whenever that was now, middle of the season, and he got worn out by Eagles fans. I think it would be awesome if he went like 6 for 70, caught a touchdown, maybe one of those 2-touchdown Zach Ertz games. Mm-hmm. I think he needs to be big for Washington. By the way, have you guys heard that the mayor of Philadelphia can't spell Eagles? She still can't spell Eagles as far as I'm concerned. Because I still have this audio.
Let me hear you all say E-L-G-F-E-S, Eagles!
You guys know who the Commanders are playing on Sunday, right? The Elksis. E-L-G-S-E-S, Elksis! Who's the worst team in the division?
Elgs. Elksis.
I wouldn't want to have to play the Eagles this weekend. They're scary. But the Elksis, I'm not as worried about them. I don't even know who the Elksis' quarterback is.
No idea.
Unbelievable. Jay Gruden joins us next hour. We're live at Caddy's in Bethesda. Grant and Danny on the Fan ahead of the Commanders and the Elksis' in the NFC Championship game.